The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
AM 600 The Answer presents the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show, brought to you by Frontline Insurance. If you want to know where those fish are, what those fish are biting, and how to get them in the boat, then you've come to the right place. Captain Vic would love to hear from you, so give him a ring at 222-8255. That's 222-8255. And now, here's the host of the Still Just Fishing Show, Captain Vic Tyson.
Oops, and we're back this morning, Still Just Fishing Show. And we got Rob on. Let's get Rob on there. Good morning, Rob. Are you there, Rob?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
Morning to you, Chris.
Good morning. How you doing, man?
Good, good. If I'd have known that you were such a big kale hook fan, I'd have put some shank-weighted kale hooks in there.
Oh, me? You mean? Yeah, and I'll tell you what. I do love kale hooks. And like I said, if I'm not using a lure or a jig head, of course, on the lures, you know, you got treble hooks on them or all that. But if, then that's what I use for bottom fishing. You know, I mean, I use those for everything from croakers to bull reds to black drum to big sheephead. See, I love to use those kale hooks in deep water for those big sheephead in the springtime.
Oh, yeah. My brother-in-law used to be an absolute fanatic with kale hooks.
Yeah, because I love them. They just act like a big hook and a little hook. I mean, you can catch a little 6-inch whiting, and you know they got small mouths, but you can catch a little 6-inch whiting or a 40-pound redfish on the same hook. That's what I like about them.
Right on. Who is expert about speckled perch?
Who is the expert?
Yeah. Hmm. Or.
Captain Vic's the only expert in here.
Are you talking about in here? Yeah, that's Ryan here. We were talking about that this morning.
Right, right. When do they start down in Lock Loosa?
I would think now to February, you know.
Okay. Are they in the river too?
I'm sure.
Oh, I'm sure they're in the St. John's. Just depends on how far up in there, you know.
They like to spawn in lily pads.
Yeah.
When you get around down this far.
I've always wanted to go down to Palatka and try fishing for them around there, but I just never have. My dad liked the lakes, you know, so we always either went to Lock Loosa, Crescent Lake, Dead Lake. I know they're in Little Orange Lake. There's got to be some big speckled perch because there's some brim in there that's over 2 pounds.
Wow.
This is the biggest brim I ever saw in Little Orange Lake.
Yep.
My father-in-law, that he's no longer with us, but my father-in-law had a place right there on Little Orange Lake, and that's the biggest brim I have ever seen is in that lake.
Wow. All righty. Well, I just want to call in and say howdy and wish Chris lots of luck with his endeavors.
Appreciate it, Rob. Same to you, bud.
You're welcome.
I throw a few of your jigs too, man. So I'm definitely not biased. How about that?
You make a nice spinnerbait.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Definitely use the spinnerbaits. You know.
All righty. Well, y'all have a great weekend. You here.
All right. Thanks.
You too. Now.
Thanks, Rob. I appreciate you calling. And you know, like I say, you know, as this water temperature cools down like this, usually I can remember. From the being the cooler weather right on down to freezing cold, we would catch them speckled perch. So this has got to be the time that they're going to start biting. I mean,
they do. They're like a trout. They like the cold.
Yeah. And I've seen the pictures that Russell, you know, posted on his Facebook page. And, I mean, those are pretty nice speckled perch, even though he didn't get a whole bunch of them. But that just shows me they're starting pretty good, you know.
Right. Well, I'm kind of a princess when it comes to fishing temperature. So... I would have to pick my day.
Well, let me tell you what. You talking about the cold? You don't like get out in the cold?
Oh, my hands and my feet both got frostbitten a couple times as a kid, and now they stay the same temperature as the air.
You know where Green Acres is at?
Where?
Green Acres. It's a sporting goods place.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, on Normandy Boulevard.
Right.
Go out there and get some of those green fox, it's FOX, sock liners, okay?
Okay.
They're real thin, real thin. I mean, it looked like they wouldn't be good for anything. But they're Fox sock liners, and you put those on, and you don't even have to put on insulated socks. You can put on a regular pair of socks over them, your feet won't get cold. And
they have them for hands.
And they have some pretty good gloves out nowadays for hands. I just don't. I can't fish with gloves on, so I don't. I got, you know, like ski gloves I put on and drive. You know, holding that stainless steel steering wheel first thing in the morning.
No doubt.
But you know, as far as fishing with gloves, I just don't do it. So I don't know about the gloves. But the other thing you can get, instead of wearing long johns out there, what is actually warmer and doesn't get hot is the fleece lined jeans. Not flannel lined, but fleece lined jeans.
Right.
That's the best thing they ever come up with. Even Captain Mike Darvo wears his Canada. I mean, it's just unreal how warm they are. Right. And the wind doesn't go through them. I mean, you put those on, and if it warms up like yesterday, if it warms up to 70 degrees, they're not hot. You know, with long johns, you gotta kind of hunt around for a place to pull your pants off and get your long johns off if they get hot. But with these, they don't get hot because they're not tight against your skin. But the wind doesn't go through them. Let me tell you, being as I'm out there all year long, I found the good clothes that really will take care of that for you.
Gotcha. A friend of mine used to wear pantyhose instead of long johns. He said they work a whole lot better.
I don't know. I mean, they may. I actually have never had a pair of pantyhose on my life, so I don't know.
Rob, I think I'm going to pass on the pantyhose.
Oh, come on. They go good with your skirt.
I hear that.
Yeah, well, that may be just something he liked wearing. I don't know. But but no, let me tell you, the Redhead or the Carhartt, which you can order them from Bass Pro Shop, fleece-lined jeans, they're not that expensive. They're like $35-$38 bucks. And let me tell you, if you buy one pair, you'll be buying a whole bunch of them.
Gotcha. Well, thanks a lot, guys.
All right, Rob.
Yep. And have a great weekend.
All right. Appreciate the call, buddy.
You too, Rob.
All right. Bye.
Morning, Chris.
Hey.
Hey,
good morning. Yeah, I got all my chores out of the way. The fire pit stoked back up from last night, threw some big old pieces on there and got coffee now. So want to call in. Been enjoying the show, listening to Chris and his wingman. And I tell you what, y'all get to talking about, I won't be on here long, but want you to get back to talking about flounder, because I tell you what, that flounder that I closed escrow for that triple challenge I was in on the 4th, that was my Thanksgiving dinner, and I want some more.
It's great. It's good eating.
No doubt.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I beer battered it up, and then the leftovers, had that for dinner, and then a couple days later, I made a fine breakfast of leftover flounder. I heated it up in the oven, made some grits, and sat there dipping chunks of fried flatty in them grits, and that was really good breakfast.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I'll get off of here and let y'all get to chatting. I'm going to enjoy my coffee, my campfire, and enjoy listening to y'all.
Appreciate it. Appreciate it, man.
All right, Chris. I'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys.
All right, buddy. And talking back, let's get back to the flounder for a little bit. What is some of the, like, the biggest tips? Oh, here we go. Okay.
We'll touch back on it.
Yeah, we'll get back on it here right after this break. We'll get back on the flounder. But kind of to give everybody a little update, or not an update, but a little touch of what we're going to talk about. Excuse me. Maybe some tips of what to look for on your depth finder. You know, on your depth finder, looking on the surface of the water, things like that. Because I know sometimes I'll move in and to a place or whatever, I don't see any bait, I don't stay there.
Yeah,
definitely.
Don't you know, there. It depends on what I'm fishing for, of course. But if I don't see any bait, you know, it's like if it looks like a just dead.
Usually, a good flounder bite to have a good mullet run.
Yeah,
running the bank or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're not moving. You're probably not going to get.
Yeah, there you go. And we'll be back to talk more about that right after this.
Safe Harbor Seafood. Mayport shrimp, seared tuna, and spinach. Have your fresh filet, fresh fish, black and grilled or fried. Or try their traditional seafood fry platters. Always remember Safe Harbor Seafood. Located at 4378 Ocean Street in Mayport, Florida. Restaurant hours are Tuesday and Thursday, 10:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Fridays and Saturdays, 10:30 a.m. to 8 p.m. And Sundays, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Safe Harbor is a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder. Palm Valley Fish Camp, located at 299 Roscoe Boulevard North, or North Beach Fish Camp, located at 103rd Street in Neptune Beach, or Julington Beach Fish Camp, located in Mendrin, has you covered for your day of fishing. Owner Ben Groeschel has set the hook perfectly. Lunch opens Wednesday through Sunday with dinner 7 days a week. Try the main dishes, shrimp and grits and black and mahi. Always check out the fresh fish at the fish camps. All fish camps are a proud sponsor of the Flounder Pounder.
When you have insurance needs, be sure to visit Angler and Dimitri Insurance Services agent Craig Van Brocklin for a personalized quote on auto, home, boat, life, and commercial insurance. Save time and money with protection you can count on. Give Craig a call at 904-899-1106. That's 904-899-1106 for Dimitri Insurance Services.
If you go along Hexer Drive to fish, you'll find there's a great place for bait and tackle to stop at, and that's Browns Creek Fish Camp, located at 5212 Hexer Drive. They have everything you need for a complete day on the water. Browns Creek Fish Camp is one of the few locations where you can pull your boat in and restock your bait supply if you run out while you're fishing. A big supporter of the Recreational Fishing Alliance, give them a call today at 904-757-1600. That's 904-757-1600.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848. Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning. We were just talking about the flounder tips and stuff like that. And one of the things we were just talking about off the air was the mullet run. And, I mean, I still see quite a few mullet around, but I'm not seeing them in the creeks very much. And I think mostly because usually in the creeks you see them on the surface. You can really spot them good, you know. And like y'all were talking about, they're still in here. They're just down lower. And for that water temperature to be, you know, as cool as it is like that. I mean, I see them at the bottom of the boat, you know, at the concrete in the boat ramp during the week. On the weekend, you know, everybody's launching boats, so you don't see all that. But and then, you know, when the tide's a little higher, not at low tide, because there's no water hardly behind the dock at low tide. But the dock at Sisters Creek, where everybody was catching them coming down the docks before on the surface, they'd see them coming and catching them, tease them through the day. Now, you don't see people throwing cast nets off there, but if you stand there, because a lot of times I'll stand there and be waiting on people to get there, and you can look down and see them running right at the bottom.
That's right.
I mean, you know, the water's pretty clear back there because it's not stirred up, and you can see them right on the bottom. And but one of the things we were also talking about was, you know, whether or not this was a real good flounder run. I mean, I've seen some pictures of some real nice flounder, y'all, including y'all.
The numbers haven't been here this year.
And I'm just wondering if maybe they were, but they're full.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, for us to catch flounder, they got to eat.
That's right.
And it's not like going out gigging, you know. I think a big problem with our flounder nowadays is because, you know, some of the guys, the divers are being able to get them out offshore.
Right.
They're doing that a lot more nowadays in the last couple of years than they've than they have in the past, because they used to be able to go out and get other fish, and now that they can't, you know, do that, they're concentrating on the flounder out there, which is, I mean, anybody gets their legal limit. I don't have any problem with that.
Yep.
But I'm just saying, I think that's why we don't see as many big fish come in the rivers like we used to.
Right.
I know, to go with that, a couple of weeks ago, a gigger told us, he said, there's more flounder in Intercoastal than I've ever seen. So we go fish, right, fish the whole bank. I mean, fish all day. Catch three or four. I was like, well, they must be gone. He goes back. They're still there. That's what he tells us. They just couldn't catch them, you know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they were there.
So they're probably full.
Right.
There was so much bait in the creeks this year.
See, that's the thing. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I've seen the most mullet this year that I ever have. And mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because we just had this late weather come in, you know. We didn't have the nor'easters this year for the flounder pounder. You know, I think mm-hmm. we had one maybe the week before. It kind of started staging things up.
Yeah.
It made the mullet kind of flow the way they were supposed to. Mm-hmm. And then after that, you know, it wasn't like that this year. You know, this year's been a month late.
Or later. Yep. I mean, I still have not seen a mangrove snapper. Yep.
Yeah.
We didn't catch one all year.
You know?
Yep.
And, I mean, they should have been here in September.
That's right. Okay.
The other thing is, which I know a lot of people don't target, but then a lot of people do, is yellowmouth trout.
Right.
You know, I got into them about a week ago, you know, float fishing. But I've not, and they were, you know, they were small. They were 8 to 14 inches. You know?
Right.
But, I mean, for as far as the amount of them, I mean, usually we can find yellowmouth trout and sit there and catch, you know, 30, 40, 50 of them.
Oh, yeah.
And be decent size, you know. You still get small ones, of course. But those should have been in here in September also.
That's right.
And see, we're just barely starting to catch them, and catching the ones we're catching are small. So, you know, we didn't have a croaker run. And I know, you know, a lot of people don't even care to talk about croakers. But, I mean, to me, I take a lot of people croaker fishing because they're good to eat and they're fun to catch. And, you know, it's a lot of fast action.
Love those croaker too, you know.
Yeah. And but we didn't really have a croaker run.
Wasn't it about a month and a half ago? You started seeing everybody post up. You know, here's the mullet run. Here's the mullet run. You know, everywhere you went in mm-hmm. the Intercoastal, schools of mullet everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And they thought that was the mullet run.
Yeah.
But what was happening is you had the, you know, the first beginning. I guess we had a little cool snap, but then after that, those fish were still in the back creek. You know what I mean? They're mm-hmm. way back. I'm not talking about.
A week ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and the thing I saw, instead of them, you know, heading toward the jetties,
yep.
they were just here.
That's just here.
And just stayed here.
With a tide, back and forth.
And, I mean, when you look at that, if those flounder got all those mullet to eat, yep. you know, I mean, that picture of that one, you were just showing me.
Yep.
When he's got a big old 7-8-inch mullet in him,
yep.
I mean, he's not going to grab something else.
That's exactly right.
For quite
right.
a while. Quite
exactly
a while,
right.
You know.
But yeah, what we noticed is you know, we had a good bit of mullet in the back creeks, and that's kind of what made us start looking. You know, the mullet are here. There's got to be flounder here.
Those fish aren't leaving if they can eat back there.
Yeah, yeah.
We had one cool snap come through, and those fish just went subsurface. You know, they kind of went down,
mm-hmm.
and we noticed this. You know what I mean? And they're still there. They're still running. They're not on the surface. You know, like everybody's looking for. So yeah. they kind of quit fishing for them.
Mm-hmm.
But once we had this huge cold front, you know, we had the 38-40 degrees weather.
Mm-hmm. First cold day,
cold day. We had a good nor'easter. I was like, you know what? I see this shaping up just mm-hmm. like it was October.
Mm-hmm.
I said, we need to go try it. The water temperatures were still about 65, mm-hmm. 68 to 65, I think is what it was. We went, and that's when the big flounder were there.
And see, I kept thinking, okay, there's got to be flounder here still.
Yeah.
But they're probably full, and when those mullet leave,
they're going to eat.
Yep. You know, yeah. I mean, and it's not going to be long. They'll leave too. I mean, you know, the majority of them, they'll go, you know, when the bait leaves. But, I mean, I just expect any time now when the mullet leaves that the bites is going to pick up. I mean, for like gangbusters for
absolutely.
A while.
Absolutely.
You know. And it might be a week, it might be 2 weeks. I mean, you never know. But once they see there's no bait around,
yep.
you know, then they're not going to hang around either.
Here's the key, though. Get outside mm-hmm. of the box. You know, you were talking earlier about sheep's head biting on certain tides. You know, mm-hmm. you got the flop of the moon. I think it kind of switches back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
if you catch them on a certain tide 1 month or 1 year, try a different, you know what I mean? Go back, go back and hit that same bank. You know, those fish are there. If the bait's there and everything's funneling like it's supposed to be, those fish are there. They're just not biting at the time. Stay on top of them.
And I noticed the last of the outgoing tide yesterday, even in the creeks, man, it was moving. It was and it looked like it was going to be a real minus tide comparatively, even though the tide chart showed a 0.5.
You know,
but let's get Captain Pete on here. Hey, Kevin, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. What's happening, Captain?
All right, man. How about you? How you been?
I've been doing pretty good. I had to work this morning, so I was listening to your show, and I wanted to share my flounder story.
Okay.
Last Saturday, my boy and I were fishing the sunset in Willacka, fishing a lily pads for crappie, and doggone if he didn't catch a 14-inch flounder on a little beetle spin.
Oh, man. Where was that at?
Willacka.
Oh, wow.
That is not uncommon. That is not uncommon.
I figured there wasn't enough salinity out there still, but I figured wrong.
Yeah, I tell you.
I didn't know they could.
I guess he might have been lost, but, you know, that's whenever those rivers connect out there to the salt water, there's no telling.
Yeah, sure enough, half tail will travel.
You know, that 1 year we didn't have very much rain at all, and they were catching tarpon all up in Palatka.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, there's been a lot of saltwater fish up there when it doesn't rain much.
Yeah.
I didn't know they could tolerate that fresh of the water. There can't be much salinity in there with all the rain we've had.
Exactly, yeah. Because I know that for quite a while, I mean, just here recently, that the water's down there around Lake Monroe and all that's finally starting to drop.
Yeah, they just receded the flood advisory in Astor.
Wow. That just kind of shows you, but that, like you say, I guess he gets up in there, and I know they were catching keeper reds up in Crescent Lake for a while, too.
Yeah, I was catching pogies in the cast net not that long ago in Crescent Lake.
There you go, man. Look at that. That's unreal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, something I haven't heard much about down there, you know, in the river down south of us was in the last few years is the shad fishing. That's something I always wanted to do, and it just sounds like you don't ever hear about that no more. I don't know if they don't just come through there anymore or what.
I haven't seen any.
I mean, it's just wild how it used to be such a big deal down there. You know, people go down there and fly fish for them a lot.
I know the alligator gar are overpopulated down in my neck of the woods. That might have something to do with
it. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I bet it would.
Yeah, they are vicious.
Yeah, they are. Yeah, they probably wipe out a lot of the shad.
Yeah, that would be my guess. I don't know where else in the world where you can fish the sunset, catch a flounder and a crappie in the same evening.
I know. I know, that is wild.
It's two of the best eating fish in both worlds.
Yeah, right. I have completely given up on bass fishing. I'm hooked up on crappie now. Those little buggers are delicious.
They are.
Well, how are they doing down there? They biting good?
Well, I'm still trying to figure it out in the river, but they're biting good in Crescent Lake.
Good. Okay. That's where the photos that I saw this morning, that's where they came from, is Crescent Lake.
Oh, yeah, they ought to be on fire down there now with this cold snap.
Well, that's great. That is great. So how old's your boy now?
He's going to be 6 in a few days.
Wow, man. That's unreal.
put me on hold. I hear the music.
Oh, okay, Pete. I'll do that. And
All right.
We'll pull you back as soon as we come back. And if you'd like to, give us a call, 222-8255, and we're going to talk more about flounder, too, here in just a few minutes.
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Bob Agnew in Washington. President George H.W. Bush, who was praised after the first Gulf War back in 1991 and later lost his second bid for the White House, partly because of a weak economy, has passed away at the age of 94. He was known as a president who sought a kinder and gentler nation. He also firmly invited Americans at one point to read his lips when he promised to raise no new taxes during the campaign, a promise he was later forced to break. The former U.S. president leaves a Middle East legacy largely written in about 100 hours of combat that routed Saddam Hussein's Iraqi forces in Kuwait back in 1991. The Gulf War gave birth to the network of military bases America now operates across the Persian Gulf. A slow-motion disaster, that's how some are describing Anchorage yesterday, reeling after powerful back-to-back earthquakes ripped apart highways, cracked buildings, and rattled people's nerves. This is SRN News.
If you're like most people and you see two gas stations and one sells gas for a little bit less, you go to that one. It just makes sense. Every little bit helps. But here's what's weird, though. Sometimes we save a few pennies here and there and ignore opportunities to save huge money, life-changing money. If you switch to MediShare for your health care, it could be massive savings for you. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Think what you could do with that over time. Just doing the math, that's $6,000 a year. That is significant. And yes, people love it, and they love it because it works. It's believers who share each other's healthcare costs. More than 400,000 people are now members of MediShare, and it's growing like crazy. Find out how much you could save and why MediShare is so popular. Go to MediShare.com or call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE. MediShare.com or 877-64-BIBLE.
Tico Sports presents the Spanish broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars. All season long, don't miss any of the games of the Jaguars 2018 season on WBOB 101.1 FM and 600 AM. Listen to the broadcast of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Espanol.
This Sunday, the Jacksonville Jaguars will face the Indianapolis Colts. Tune in at 12:45 p.m.
Don't miss all the action brought to you by Tico Sports with the voices of Javier Carrero and Victor Cora.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Wednesday, December 5th, from 5 to 9 p.m., it's the first Wednesday Art Walk in Hemming Park in downtown Jacksonville. Thursday, December 6th through Sunday, December 9th, the Jacksonville Symphony presents Holiday Pops at Jacoby Symphony Hall. Check online for daily showtimes. And Saturday, December 8th, from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m., it's Toys for Tots at the Seawalk Pavilion at Jacksonville Beach.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
If Obama said the word nationalist and explained it, they wouldn't have any problem with it. But it's Trump. Trump represents an existential threat to mushy-headed liberalism. They know it. They have to take away the rhetorical devices and weapons and issues that Trump has successfully used against the left to expose the left. They have to remove those topics from his discussion.
Laura Ingraham, 9 to 11 a.m. on AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB. The latest traffic and weather on WBOB, your 2018 election authority.
Roads are looking good. Smooth driving around town. As for the weather, bring out the umbrellas. Cloudy, breezy. 70% chance of showers today, high 75. Rains continue through about Monday, matter of fact, with up to about a 60% chance of rain the beginning of the week. Daytime highs, 75 today, up to about 80 tomorrow. It is currently 64 right here at AM 600 WBOB.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back this morning on the Still Just Fishing Show. We got Bill on here. I guess Captain Pete had to go, but morning, Bill. Bill? Hey, Bill. I know he's not out fishing because he don't fish the weekends. So. But anyway, maybe he'll call back. Maybe he's got his on hold. Anyway, Bill, if you can, call us back. Must be in a bad area. Sorry about that. So, anyway, all right, talking about some of these flounder tips and stuff we were talking about. And what do you look for stuff on your depth finder? Do you look at the areas, like, do you see if there are baits in there in a certain area, see if there's bait running down the bank, or see if there's, like, no bank? I mean, no bait at all in there.
You got to have a combination. It's got to be a little bit of everything. I like eddy. I like any type of structure that's on the bottom. You know, yeah. Go through with your depth finder. It just, you know, the hardest part is to get out there and try on your own to figure these places out. You know, we've all been helped along the way, and we've all had good fishermen we fish with. I could name several. Started in Nassau Sounds, you know, fishing with Dad, Mom. We used to go over there almost every weekend, fish for flounder. And what I noticed is when the tide went out, this was at a young age, now it's changed, but at a young age, I noticed that the fish would come off the flat and they would go straight to the channel. They'd sit right on the ledge, and that's where we'd catch these fish. And I've just added that over the years, you know, to that plus the knowledge that we've gained now and added to big water. You know, we try to catch the bigger fish. You know, I mean, we've been very lucky. You know, 3 10-pound fish, that's extremely lucky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But eddies, any type of structure that's on the bottom, anything that's natural. I mean, a lot of people don't realize that flounder will be on wood lines too. You know, there's bait around trees. That is one of the biggest flounder areas there is. You know, certain times of the year, you just have to take the time to fish it. Docks, anything, any kind of docks, fallen debris, those people cut pylons off, they drop them in the water. That stuff turns into live bottom, you know. Mm-hmm. And when that happens, you've got live bait to stack up on it. And, you know, and then we can talk about the run too, but that's totally different. But summertime, you know, we're talking docks and things of that nature. In the wintertime, you know, when we start having these nor'easters, we look for the fish that are running. You know, Ryan can tell you, we fish a lot of deep drops. It'll go from 3 foot to, you know, 20 foot in the matter of turning your boat out into the channel.
Mm-hmm.
That's where those fish are going to be. And like this time of year, you know, those fish have already gone down. They're on the bottom. They're still running. They're still here. They're still around the oyster beds. But basically, we focus on those points where the fish have to cross. It's kind of like a funnel for deer. You know, mm-hmm. That's the way I look at it. Where can I get that's going to allow me to put me in a position where the fish are going to stay? Because obviously they don't want to be in the shallow water, not the bigger fish.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to stay where they can just get in the channel and haul butt. You know, that's what we focus on. And that could be anything from, you know, rocks on points. One of my favorites is these private boat ramps. You know, these fish stack up behind these boat ramps. And they'll be there right now. They might not bite when you get there, but if you spend enough time and you work those areas thoroughly, you're probably going to catch a flounder.
Find out what tide they're going to be in.
Absolutely. And it's changed. Last week, 2 weeks ago, was different. We had an outgoing tide. This week, it's all on the incoming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we fished yesterday with Ryan Connor, a great fisherman, by the way. We tried early that morning. It was like, we're going to go try it. It was, the outgoing? Actually, it was at the turn of the incoming.
Mm-hmm.
And the water wasn't where I wanted it to be. It wasn't as clear as I wanted it to be. That's another thing. It's clear water. I like that. So we came back 2 hours later. And the first cast, right where we knew those fish were going to be sitting.
Yeah.
You know, 6-inch gulp mullet. And that fish that I actually tagged you in on Facebook a minute ago had about a 6 or 7-inch mullet in him. That's a 4-pound flounder. We wasn't able to stay there very long, but that area was fixing to you know, perform for us is what I say. You know, there's fish there. They were fixing to bite.
Yeah.
The mullet were running. You could see them running through. And another thing is people don't realize it, but trout holes, where your trout are, that's where your big flounder are going to be sitting too.
Hmm.
So if I catch a big trout, I'm going back for flounder, and I'm going to pound that whole area.
Yeah.
So that's just a given. But deep water doesn't have to be 20 foot. It could be anywhere from 8 to 12 foot, you know?
Yeah.
That's where I'm going to focus this time of year because that's where those big fish are sitting. But Ryan, I know he's got some stuff to add. Well, he put a man. How about getting a personal best 31 inch fish? You know, that's insane.
Oh yeah.
But
so did y'all catch those three 10 pounders that you had? What was it, a week ago?
They were within about a week and a half, 6 miles from each other.
Oh,
we went to several different areas.
Oh, okay.
It's kind of like a pattern though. But once you figured a pattern, they were you could duplicate it. You know.
Well, and that's a very interesting thing because you didn't catch them. I mean, even though you caught two of them in one day, and then and you caught several others in that, you know. But then you caught the other one the next day, you know.
Right.
So, but you didn't catch them in the same
spot.
No,
sir.
They were a long ways apart.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes this interesting to me. You know, flounder are fun to chase. And whatever people say, yeah, they're easy to catch in the summer months. But, man, you wait till the winter time when you get these nor'easters. Now, you do get on a good bite. We had a few years ago. This year's run to me has been subpar, honestly. I mean, it's been hit or miss. But the big fish have been there, and they're thick, full of mullet. But, yeah, just look for the key points. That's what I can say, you know. Look for that deep water. Look for the eddies where your current's running one way.
Yeah.
And it's whipping around, making a circle. I know it's kind of hard to keep your boat there, but fish that area thoroughly. If there's any type of structure like rocks, any type of submerged trees, man, that's where I'm going. Look for the bait. If the bait's not there, move down the river, try somewhere else. And that's what we kind of focused on, clean water.
Well, and cleaner water like that, you can kind of see the mullet that are down there too.
That's exactly right.
But so you know about these drop-offs, so you don't have your depth finder. Like, you know, you don't have to worry about the depth finder because you know where they're at now because you've fished it that many times.
Been fishing, you know, Nassau and St. John's. I don't go to St. John's as much. Now, it depends on the flounders there.
Uh-huh.
But this year we've had some good fish come out of the St. John's River, which has been very, very crazy. But, yeah, over the last 25 years,
uh-huh,
we fished that river. We try to learn it. You know, that's just – we spent a lot of time, so you know, we've been very lucky catching fish, but we've also found some spots that we can go back to time and time again.
That's good to know that those fish weren't in the same spot either. Yeah. Hey, Bill, thanks for calling back. Can we hear you?
Hey, well, you know, I'm older now, Vic. I wandered off.
Oh, did you? Yeah, I know how that age thing works. Believe me.
Oh Lord, And I got to say that my friends that wear pantyhose, I never talk about them. I saw him. He's a crazy man. Well, I went out. One of the things that, you know, when I was a kid, I'm one of those damn Yankees. I grew up in Pennsylvania, and I used to do everything outside. Snowmobile, cross-country ski, downhill ski, snowshoe.
Yeah.
And I have to say, you know, I know that you talk about the lined pants, but I have purchased a couple pairs of the new high-tech long underwear. And they're, when you touch them, you'd think they'd be cold. They're almost like rayon or nylon, the old style clothing, you know.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
They're kind of pricey. But my God, the minute you put them on, they radiate warmth back to your body.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Because they're slippery underneath your jeans and stuff,
uh-huh,
they don't stick. They don't cling. They aren't like the old knitted long underwear we all wore when we were kids that, you know, you're kind of glued together.
Right, yeah, and when it gets warm during the day, you're burning up all of a sudden.
Yeah, it's not like that. And, of course, I wear a lot of layers. I have a jacket that pretty much has no insulation whatsoever, but it breaks 100% of the wind.
Yeah.
And I work my way down from there. I wear long sleeves. If it's real cold, I wear a turtleneck. But there's no reason. I fish when it's 25 degrees up north. I've fished when it's in the, you know, low 30s here.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's, you know, that I always talk about the best time to go is when you can. I know a lot of people talk about it might be too cold to fish. To me, it's never too cold to fish.
That's right.
You just don't know how to dress.
That's it. You dress for it and get out there.
I will tell you that I did buy one of those automatically inflatable life jackets. And when I got too much stuff on to swim with, which is a pair of boots and long underwear and yada yada,
yeah, then you
wear that thing.
That's a good thing because those clothes, once they get wet, they're gonna soak. They're gonna, you know, weight you down.
Well, yeah. Now that I'm older, not only do I wander off, I can't swim 4 miles. holding up a platter of steak over my head, you know? So I wear that thing. It's inflatable, and most of us don't wear life jackets, but I wear that when I'm...
Hold on, Bill.
That's right, Jacksonville. You can go to a lot of places in North Florida to buy a gun. But at Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year. How? Wild West Guns buys dealer direct and passes the savings on to you. There's no middleman. You get the factory direct price every time. Plus, at Wild West Guns, you can choose from the very best selection in all of Jacksonville. Whatever you need, Wild West Guns has it. From handguns to hunting rifles, from shotguns to AK-47s, from Glock to SIG, Remington to Vanelli, Bushmaster to Stag, Wild West Guns has got you covered big time. The right gun, the right ammo, the right price, guaranteed. Wild West Guns, Lane Avenue South, Northeast Florida's premier firearms dealer. You get the factory direct price every time. Wild West Guns, you're guaranteed the best price every day of the year.
Hey boaters, are you tired of trying to find the time off work to take your boat to shop, only to find you need to take more time off to pick it up afterwards? Are you letting your maintenance go because you just can't be without your boat? If either sound familiar, then give Captain Mike a call at 904-614-3423, and he'll come to your place to do the maintenance for you. No leaving work and no being without your boat. 100-hour maintenance. Trailer lights, bilge, and live well pumps are all kept in good order. Keep your boat in top shape. Call Captain Mike at 904-614-3423.
Trolling Motor Services Plus is now open for business. They're an authorized dealer and warranty service center for Minn Kota, Motor Guide, and Rodan Trolling Motors. They're also your home for power pole anchors and Cannon downrigger service and repair. Trolling Motor Services Plus sells, repairs, and installs pretty much anything electrical for your boat, including keep alive oxygen systems. Call Matt today at Trolling Motor Services, 573-0480. That's 573-0480. Check them out online at trollingmotorservicesplus.com.
Durance Tree Service, servicing Northeast Florida for over two decades. They do the whole nine yards, from light tree trimming to the largest tree removal. Homeowners beware, don't let uninsured contractors on your property. Durance Tree Service is family owned and operated, fully licensed and insured, with workman's comp on all their employees. For the absolute best tree service in Northeast Florida, call Durance Tree Service at 449-2848. That's 449-2848.
Cross Creek Steakhouse and Ribs on Lane Avenue between I-10 and Normandy Boulevard on the west side. The home of great baby back ribs, steaks aged and cut by their in-house butcher, and the best shrimp in town. Come in and try one of their great combination platters. Make sure you try their southern side dishes. Are you having an event? Cross Creek Catering can make it special. They cater events from 5 to 5,000, every kind of food. Call 783-9579. That's 783-9579. Visit their website and look at their catering and takeout menus. Cross Creek, the taste of old Florida.
You can always trust Captain Vic to put you right where the fish are biting. Just like you can always trust Frontline Insurance to insure your home with the best coverage possible. At Frontline, we'll help you create an action plan with our trusted vendors and contractors to make repairs to your home. The best part? We'll help pay the cost of those eligible home repairs. Now that's smarter insurance. Find your local Frontline agent at frontlineinsurance.com. Frontline Insurance, building home partnerships with coastal Floridians since 1998.
Let's get back to the Captain Vic Tyson's Still Just Fishing Show on AM 600 WBOB. Today's show is brought to you by Frontline Insurance. Visit frontlineinsurance.com and get a homeowner's quote today. The Still Just Fishing Show is a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 904-222-8255. That's 904-222-8255. And now, here's your host, Captain Vic Tyson.
And we're back. Let's get Bill on real quick again. Morning, Bill.
Hey.
Hey.
So, we're talking about cold stuff, and the other thing that I did is I bought one of those Mustang high-speed life preservers. Life jackets, because it's got a flap for my kidneys and it's got a collar on it, and it's warm as toast, and you got to have a life jacket on your boat anyway. So
yeah,
I keep that in there in the winter just in case it gets super cold. But there's no reason not to fish in the cold.
No, there's not. And but the thing you brought up, a good thing too is when you're fishing by yourself is to have like one of those inflatables on, because you know, probably a lot of people don't realize the more clothes you put on like that, the heavier you're going to be if you was to fall overboard.
Oh yeah, I got in 6 foot waves off the shipyard one time. I thought I was going to die, and I knew I had my rain suit on and rubber boots. I knew I couldn't swim.
Yeah,
and I bought that thing, and I'm pretty good about it now. My wife wants to keep me, oddly enough.
Well, and a lot of times people don't realize too that you know, you think you live in Florida, you don't have to worry about cold water, but you can get hypothermia here pretty easily in the wintertime when this water temperature gets down. I mean, right now, you know, it showed like 62, 63 degrees yesterday, depending on where I was at. You know, we'll get into the 50s. I mean, you know, when you do that, and if you was to fall over and not be able to get back to your boat, I mean, it doesn't take but about 20, 25 minutes.
You add that cold wind on top of that.
You know, yeah. And your body starts going numb. You can't use your muscles and stuff, and people don't realize that, you know. Even though they're in Florida.
Yeah, it's not worth it.
Yeah, even in Florida.
Like you say, fish when you can, and so the weather, I try not to let us. Now, rain and, you know, the winds, once the winds get over 40 miles an hour, I won't go out either, but.
40?
Well, if you remember last year, every day the wind was 20 plus. It was horrifying.
I know, man. We've had some wind, I tell you. And that's one of the things with me. That's the worst thing. Now, I hate launching a boat in the rain. Now, if you're out there and a rain shower comes, that's one thing. But, you know, but I hate launching the boat with it raining first thing in the morning. I fished tournaments and had to do that, and I just can't stand to do that, you know. But the biggest thing to me, or the most discouraging thing to me in fishing is the wind. I mean, I can fish if it's 98 degrees. I could fish if it's 30. I just hate the wind.
Yep.
Well, I don't know. I'm going to go fishing, and, you know, we don't get to pick. But I want to get off the phone because these guys that you got in there today are just doing a great job, and I'm really appreciating your show.
Appreciate that.
Captain.
Good.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Thanks, Bill. And let's get Wing going here. Morning, Wingo.
What's happening, guys?
Captain Chip.
How you doing, Chip?
How you doing, Chip? Good. What's going on? I've been listening to some of this flounder talk, and it's made me want to catch another big one. So I had a really good year 2 years ago on the spinner baits with, you know, fish up to 8-9 pounds. But this past year I really didn't focus on them much. Did a couple trips, you know, folks trying to target them, and they just weren't where I thought they would be. And then, you know, we were talking about how it would be a late run, and then everybody got on sheephead and forgot all about them.
Yeah.
Until those boys went and put the smackdown on them.
Yeah, that kind of gets people more interested when they see those photos.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like, you know, when somebody calls me up and it's December and they're like, we want to go catch tarpon.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh.
Had those calls.
Me and Isla Mirada.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, we have those resident fish I catch all winter long, but it's tide dependent, weather dependent, and everything else. But, you know, I was listening to you talk. Remember that you were told us about those Wrangler insulated pants?
Yeah.
The ones you wear?
I wear the Carhartt and the Redheads.
Okay. I remember we were talking about, I found the Wranglers in camo up at Cali K's. And, man, you talk about a lifesaver this year. Those things are warm. I just don't want to wear them on the boat. I need to find some that aren't camo.
Speaking of Cali K's, that's our one-stop drop up there in Hilliard. So Lewis is doing a good job with that place up there.
He just posted last week, I think, that he got a new shipment of the Carhartt, the flannels, but he can get the fleece. I know he can get the fleece.
Yeah, because let me tell you, the fleece is a lot better than the flannel.
Right.
You know, it's a lot warmer.
Yeah.
But you got them up there, huh? And
we saw her at the grocery store coming up last night to Georgia. So, but you told her how great, I love that store, man. It's just a haul to get out there, you know, from where I live out in Bayard, but they've got some cool stuff in there. They actually have the world famous flounder jigs and and the sheephead jigs out there too. I was like, oh yeah, I know this guy.
Appreciate that, man.
No problem. I'm just happy you guys got on that bite, especially when you showed the picture of your mom's big one. How big was that one?
That was a 7-pound fish. It was 21 inches, I believe.
That was a beautiful fish, too.
I've never caught a fish that small, that fat. It was unreal. Full of mullet.
Yeah.
Probably every bit of 3 inches thick. So,
wow.
Big fish, man.
That was. Did you get that one? Are you having that one mounted for?
We're going to have that one mounted for Mom. Yeah. I think she needs that one on the wall because I told her this may never happen again.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, you guys have been doing a great job with it. It's nice to see, you know, and that's some good information you put out, you know, talking about finding the deep edges and the rock piles, trees, things of that nature. I mean, I've watched some guys over the years fish deep for them and produce some amazing fish on artificial, like Rick Thacker and some of the other guys fishing those deep holes.
Yep.
You know, and
well, I got
a lot of times.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jip.
Go ahead. You're good.
I've got a good partner. The guy knows how to fish. He fishes deep water where he's at. And, you know, the way I see it is you can't do it without good teamwork. You know, if you don't have good chemistry in a boat, you're going to have bad days, you know? So a lot of credit goes to Ryan.
Yeah. Well, I was happy for you guys watching the videos and stuff and just cringing because I'm like, I want one.
Well, let me tell you, I'm not going to tell you how many times we hugged in the boat, but we may have come to some type of full embrace, but we won't talk about it.
That's when Chris caught his first, and I was like, this is a great fish, but deep down I was mad because I never thought I'd catch one that big, and it wasn't too much longer I did get one.
Chip, we went to another location. I sat down in the boat, and I said, all right, just fish.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding you. Ryan throws out maybe five times, and he's like, boom. I was like, you hung on the bottom, ain't you? He's like, no, this is a fish. And about that time, his rod tip, you could just see his head shake, and you knew what was going on. And I'm going to tell you something. When you get a fish like that to the boat and you see those red gills flare out, that's insane. That's insane.
And it's very scary.
It is.
It's scary because you don't know if you're going to get that thing in the net or not.
But that's just it. It was on a real habit jig. He wasn't going nowhere.
Yeah.
That swing does help in that situation.
That swing does help.
I bet. Yeah.
Yeah, it makes it hard for them to sling it out of their mouth, which is awesome.
Yeah.
You know, that's cool, man. I couldn't believe those pictures. And we had just talked about it, you know, how we thought there was going to be a late run, you know, and like, yep, there you go. Because everybody else is focused on sheephead and black drum. And, you know, the guys who know how to do it are going to go out and find them.
So slip right in, man. Slip right in.
Yeah, Chris was coming to my house in Middle Georgia. We were going deer hunting. I was kicking. The rut was kicking. I told him, I said, come on, they're chasing. He's like, man, we need to go fishing. So I come to his house, and, man, there was bucks running does all over here chasing. I was like, we should have went deer hunting. And then we caught three trophy fish. It was worth it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
Fish of a lifetime.
That's very true. That's awesome, man. Well, guys, have an awesome week, and congratulations again.
Thank y'all.
Thanks, sir.
All right, appreciate it, Chip.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate everything, all the support, small company, and it's been a ride.
So name of the store up there again?
Cali K's. We're in Browns Creek. We know we're in Strike Zone. Hernandez,
St. Augustine Paddle Sports.
What are we missing? Steve Turner Ace?
Yep.
They've been a good ride.
Good.
Appreciate everybody.
Good. And you can look at Facebook page, Real Habit Jigs. And you have a website?
It's a shop now. We're working on a website.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right. So Real Habit Jigs on Facebook. Go ahead and check that out. And it's R-E-E-L and Habit, just like a bad habit of fishing.
Captain Vic, we thank you. It's been a great,
well, I thank
great show.
I appreciate y'all coming in here, man. It was great.
Maybe you have us back.
A lot of good information. And we'll be back next week.